It's the second week of the year. It's the second Mainly Moonology podcast of the year, but it's the first new moon of 2024, and it's taking place near magical Pluto. So this week's episode is all about that.
Welcome to the Mainly Moonology podcast. I'm your host, Yasmin Boland, an award-winning astrologer and the Sunday Times best-selling author of books including Moonology and creator of the Moonology Oracle Cards. My intention for this podcast is to help you understand how you can create your dream life using Mainly Moonology, the moon, as your guide.
This week, I want to talk about manifesting your life in 2024 and manifesting with the moon in particular. I want to just give you a sort of an overview of how to do that, and I'm going to give you a chant that you might like to listen to. So let's start by talking about the moon and manifesting. For those of you who are new to moonology, moonology really taps into very ancient traditions that have been around for literally millennia. Back in the day, while the men were all, you know, being very busy and important, running the governments and, doing all the astrology, women tended less to do astrology and more did what I now call moonology. They didn't call it back then moonology, but that's the name I came up with. But it's kind of what they did because they worked a lot with the moon and with Venus in particular, the two very the feminine luminary and planet. And it was something where women would go out and make magic and do spells and what we now call casting, setting intentions and sending out wishes into the universe. It's all kind of the same. It's about how to manifest your reality, whatever you want to call it. And so with the new moons of the year, there are actually 25 new moons, I believe. This year they start and I believe finish with the new moon in Capricorn. Yes, so we had the new moon in Capricorn last week, and then at the very end of the year, we're actually going to get the second new moon in Capricorn of the year. So all those 12 new moons will roll around over the course of 12 months, and they can be used for manifesting. How so, I hear you ask? Well, I was talking a minute ago about back in the olden days, women doing magic and, you know, making tinctures and potions and doing healing and all that sort of stuff, casting spells, and now we say we're sending out intentions. It's the same thing. Women traditionally, magical women traditionally worked with the new moon, and it's still the time to do it. In fact, it's arguable that women have worked with the new moon for maybe literally tens of thousands of years. I won't go into that right now, but there's a strong case to argue that. Now, why would we do that? Because the new moon was always seen as a very, very magical time. If you think about it, at full moon, which happens 2 weeks apart from the new moon, at full moon, we have the moon at her most swollen, at her biggest and brightest. And then we go into the waning cycle and the moon starts to appear to get smaller every night. The moon appears to get smaller every night until we get the dark moon, which is when the moon disappears. All right. And then we get the new moon, which is when the sun and the moon are on the exact same degree of the zodiac. And then a few days later, we get that first sliver of the crescent moon. So why do we make wishes, set intentions, make commitments to ourselves at the time of the new moon? I will tell you why. And that's why women have done it like this for millennia. Because back in the olden days, before everybody understood astronomy, it was like the moon mysteriously disappeared and then would be sort of, in inverted commas, reborn at the time of the crescent moon when we get that first sliver of the moon after the new moon. And so it was in that very dark time when we couldn't see the moon, and literally it is darker because when there is no moon, of course it's darker outside. And just as an aside, I don't know if you know, in military terms, the full moon is actually used as a time to sort of, if you're going to be doing night sorties or whatever they're called, going out in the middle of the night, they go at full moon because it's so bright. So the opposite is true at the new moon. It's dark, okay? It's a dark and very fertile time. And the analogy I like to use is this. Imagine you have a pot plant, just a pot, and you fill it up with dirt. You know, you can get dirt from the garden, you can get dirt from the garden center. You put it in this pot because you're going to plant a seed, okay? So you fill the pot up with the soil and, you know, put on a bit of topsoil so it's all the best stuff. And then what you do, you sort of pat it down a bit so it's relatively compact, fill it up again until it's just the right height. And then what do? You get your finger and you stick it in the soil to make a little hole. You get your seed and you drop the seed into the hole and then you cover it up a bit, don't you, so that the seed is protected under the soil. Now, what's happening for the seed? The seed, which can be the seed of your desires, the seed of whatever it is you want to manifest, is now in the dark. Very much like the new moon sees us all in the dark. So it's the perfect time to plant the seeds of what you want. And in moonology, what we do, and I'll just show you my moonology book, because I know some of you don't even know that I have a moonology book. You know about the diaries and the cards, but I actually have a book that started all this. So in moonology, at the time of the new moon, that's when we set our intentions, we make our wish lists, we do our wishing. You know, I get on Facebook or Instagram or both and do a ceremony, and it's a time to decide what you want. Deciding what you want brings clarity, okay? And if you like to work with goddess energy, a brilliant goddess to work with is the goddess Durga. Okay, now where do I get this from? I get this from the ashram in India, the Sri Narayani Pedam that I've been going to on and off for nearly 20 years now. And there at New Moon, they work with the goddess Durga. Because why? Durga gives us courage and strength. And what do we need when our dreams are like pushed under the soil, covered up in the dark? We're making magic. We don't know what's going to come. What do we need? We need courage and strength. We need courage and strength to do whatever it takes to nurture those dreams and to make them come true. So to continue the gardening analogy, of course, you water the plant, you put it in the right place so it's got sunlight, and eventually, before too long, you get those first shoots of life coming up from the seed as it germinates, and you get those little shoots coming up above the soil. And that's basically such a beautiful analogy for the first sliver of the crescent moon after the new moon, when we start to see our dreams can come true. And it's really, really important to take action, to take small, inspired steps towards whatever you want. And then you keep working on your dreams all through the waxing cycle, which is the 2 weeks from the new moon back to the full moon. And then at the full moon, we give it all up to the divine. So I really wanted to just sort of go through those basics for you this year, for anyone who's new to moonology. It's always a good time to make wishes. If you're listening to this and thinking, oh no, I've missed the first new moon of the year, it doesn't matter. Just go back to it and just make your wishes as soon as you finish watching this. But I also wanted to give you that chant this week, which you can do every new moon, or you can do it now, or you can do it whenever you need courage and strength. And it's a chant to the goddess Durga, okay? And it just goes, Om Durga Yay Namaha. I'm going to chant it three times. And so whether you made your new moon wishes or you didn't make your new moon wishes, or you're going to be making some waxing cycle wishes, as soon as you stop listening to this, just write down, say your top three wishes. If you've got my beautiful moonology diary, if it's still available, buy it. But if it's not, sorry. But there is space in there to write down your new moon wishes and write down the action steps you're going to take, and then just chant to Durga. To ask her to give you courage and strength to do whatever it is that you need to do. And I just want to say that this week we have the sun sextiling Neptune, so it's a great time to be chanting if you're new to chanting. We've also got Mercury making a harmonious aspect to Saturn, so it's a really good week for getting really clear about your intentions for the year ahead. Even though it's not the new moon week anymore, we're still in the waxing cycle, which is the time to really go for it. Plus, we've got Mercury harmonizing with Jupiter, so it's also going to be a time where we can be optimistic about our chances of achieving our goals, manifesting whatever it is that we want, and that's half the battle. And we also have the Sun conjoining Pluto, which follows on from the new moon last week. So it carries that energy through from the new moon. So really a time to be making magic. The only real caution this week is there is a Venus-Neptune clash. So if you suspect your romantic life is a bit of a mess, you might be right, but just go through the week, decide what you want, set intentions. You can't change anyone else. You can only change yourself, but set in waxing cycle intentions for what you want. All right. I hope that's not too all over the place. I feel like it's a lot of information about stuff, but hopefully it starts to help you get aligned with, you know, the idea of using the coming 12 months to really set intentions and to see how powerful you are when you do that. So let me do the chant and then I have a little secret surprise for you. So here we go. Going to do the chant three times to Durga. Om Durga Ye Namaha. Om Durga Ye Namaha. Om Durga Ye Namaha. Very powerful chant. And just to remind you that if you're new to the podcast, we drop the week ahead forecast every Monday. So if you want to stay with us over the course of the coming 12 months, I will work through all the new moons and you'll never miss another new moon. Okay, so if you are watching on YouTube, that's about it for now from me. Thank you for being here and I will see you back here next week. We're actually going to now segue into an interview that I have this week to offer you with an amazing astrologer called Mindy Mendelsohn. So Mindy is a professional astrologer with 35 years experience under her belt and an international clientele. She's an alumni of the University of Chicago, where she majored in anthropology and archaeology, specializing in Mesoamerican archaeology. So she's very much into the past. She's an internationally recognized workshop facilitator and was the originator of the Sedona Monthly Magazine astrology column. She's a certified Reiki master trained by William Rand. And she's just an amazing astrologer and she does a bit of work for me. So she is one of the astrologers that I reached out to earlier this year because I wanted to get other people's opinions about the astrology for the year ahead. So I said to Mindy, Mindy, tell me, what does everyone need to know in your opinion about the astrology of 2024? I would like to share that with my podcast listeners and watchers, viewers, and here is what Mindy said.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We're just going to pause the podcast to do a call out to all astrology enthusiasts and the manifestors out there. So my Mainly Moonology membership is gearing up for something really extraordinary, a very special latest Magical Nights workshop. So this year, 2024, blesses us with 11 nights that are brimming with incredible energy, and April 21st stands out as one of these remarkable nights. Why is April 21 so special? Well, it's the day when Jupiter, the planet of good luck and expansion, aligns with Uranus, the planet of change, liberation, awakenings, and innovation. So this rare meeting, and it really is rare, is a potent moment of the year for breakthroughs, radical change, and unexpected opportunities. It's an ideal time to set intentions, break free from limitations, and also invite abundance into your life for reasons I will explain on the night. If you're already a member of my beautiful Mainly Moonology membership, keep an eye on your inbox because your Zoom invitation for this exclusive workshop will be on its way very soon. You obviously won't want to miss out on harnessing this super powerful energy to supercharge your manifesting. And if you're not a member yet, but you are intrigued by the magic of astrology and moonology and manifestation, there's a place for you in the community. Just go to mainlymoonologymembership.com to sign up and become part of a community that's dedicated to exploring the mysteries of the moon and beyond. Join us in time for the Magical Nights workshop and discover how to work with the universe's energy to create the life you're dreaming of. April 21 is just the beginning. We have 11 magical nights this year, and the journey through 2024 promises to be transformational. So don't miss out to be a part of it. Sign up now and let's manifest together. MainlyMoonologyMembership.com.
Hello, I'm Mindy Mendelson, and I'm an astrologer out of Sedona, Arizona. And this is what I would like to offer you for 2024. So I personally am viewing 2024 as a year very much as where we stand is at the crossroads, at the threshold of change. And there's three particular lenses that I see this through. The first one being what happens in January 1st. Mercury stations direct in Sagittarius. Now, this is significant for a couple of different reasons. Most particularly, through all of 2023, Mercury were, all the retrogrades rather, were in Earth signs, and Earth signs are very real, they're pragmatic, they're about things that are useful and things that we can touch. However, in 2024, all of the Mercury retrogrades we will experience after this station direct are going to be in fire signs. And earth signs and fire signs are two different tribes. Fire signs are about intuition. They're about imagination. They're about re-envisioning what is possible for ourselves in our lives. And here we have Mercury, literally the archetypal god, the messenger of the god of the thresholds, stationing direct, which means he's stopping and changing directions on January 1st. The out with the old and into the new herald happening right away. And then a mere 20 days later, the big transit that everyone's really talking about, Pluto moves into Aquarius, but a mere 11 hours earlier, the sun enters Aquarius. And why this is important symbolically is whatever the sun shines its light on, it gives life, it animates. So it's as though the sun is rolling the red carpet out for Pluto and telling us all, hey, put your attention here. It's shining a light on it. Pluto is the god of transformation, the god of death and rebirth. Pluto invites, well, actually, let me say this. Pluto demands our evolution, that we change from an old form into a new. And when I'm speaking about this, what's springing to mind actually is the process of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. First of all, what happens is the caterpillar weaves a cocoon, it cocoons itself. And many of you may know this, I didn't for years. It literally then digests itself. It completely dissolves into a goo. And then out of that goo, you know, that sort of primordial goo, it then reforms itself and emerges from this this cocoon, completely transformed, a completely different form than it was when it entered the cocoon. And that is a Pluto process. That is a Pluto transit. And we are going to be experiencing both collectively, because Pluto takes a long time to move. It'll be in Aquarius for 20 years, but also personally, particularly if you are a fixed sign, not just an Aquarian, but a Taurian, a Leo, a Scorpion, or have any placements, particularly in this beginning period of 2024, early in the fixed signs. If you're looking at your sun sign, your birthday, you're really looking at any time being born, say, between the 20th and the 27th. You will feel this most immediately. But if your moon or your Venus or any of these planets, and you can go to any number of sites online or through any number of apps, find out what signs and what degrees, mathematically, there'll be a number that they're in. And if they're early, say 7 and under, I'd actually like to say 5 and under here, then you are most immediately going to be impacted in the area of life that Pluto is moving by this transit. You are going to be, in essence, cocooning, going inward, and dissolving yourself. Pluto also, when I said god of transformation, death and rebirth, Pluto is, he rules our subconscious. He's the god of wealth, the god of hidden riches, the things we don't see about ourselves if we're speaking personally. If we look at this collectively, in the sign of Aquarius, Aquarius is a sign of the future. We're moving from Capricorn, a sign that literally rules the past. It rules lineage. It rules inheritance, into Aquarius, the sign of the future. And you can even see it sort of in what's going on in our economies right now. We're moving from the industrial age, which is a very earth-based type of thing, into the Aquarian age, which is, or rather the digital age, where we're so interconnected, whether it's through cell phones, whether it's through videos, whether it's through the internet itself. We've got artificial intelligence now. We've got self-driving cars. We're moving to the age of information, or conversely, the age of misinformation. And on a personal, certainly on a collective level, but on a personal level, this is really important. My favorite way to use astrology is for personal development. It's like the chart's like a compass. It points where you need to go. It's the map of your life. It's your soul's contracts, your soul's intentions. There's no accident when something moves over a particular part of your chart. So I always like to joke about this is about moving with your soul, because the soul will always win. You can either resist it and be dragged into the future like a screaming toddler when you don't do the things you know you need to do. Or you can lean into it, which means explore it. Ask yourself, how do I need to transform? How do I need to change? What do I know I need to do, but I'm a little afraid to do? And stretch into that. Attend to it. Intend it. And so we're being asked to lean in. And when I talk about age of information and misinformation, Pluto rules our subconscious mind. Think about all the hidden stories we have about ourselves, our hidden beliefs that are getting in the way of us being able to move forward. Pluto in Aquarius offers us an avenue to consciously work, to shine a light. There's that sun on these hidden recesses within ourselves, and transform them such that we are set free and can experience the freedom of moving. Now, the other lens here, beyond just Pluto moving into Aquarius, is very fascinating to me this year, is Pluto's moving from Capricorn into Aquarius, from Earth to air. Jupiter's also very active this year, and it's moving on May 25th from Taurus into Gemini, from Earth to air. Aquarius, Gemini, Libra are all air signs, and our eclipses are happening in Libra and Aries this year. So we got a lot of air going on, and air is all about making connections. It's about changing our mind. It's very fast-moving air. And the interesting connection between Jupiter and Pluto is they were brothers, but Jupiter was the god of the great above, the great sky god. And Pluto was the god of the great below, the underworld, our subconscious. So we've got our conscious beliefs and our unconscious beliefs. And then here we have Mercury in Sagittarius. Well, not just Sagittarius, Sagittarius at the beginning of the year, but Mercury in fire signs, moving between the two of them all year symbolically, asking us to envision what's possible for ourselves so that we can redefine our life and move into the future we dream of. And this is particularly characterized by the North and South Node. As I said, the South Node is in Libra currently. So we've got all the air signs involved. The North and South Node are known as the Dragon's Head and the Dragon's Tail. The Dragon's Head is where we're moving towards. The North Node is where we take things in. The Dragon's Tail is where we release things. So, heading back here. If we look at Aries, Aries is the sign that is about being courageous. It's the sign of the hero. It's the sign of heading out on an epic quest, of claiming your place in the world. So the path forward is having the courage to claim authentically where you want to be in life. And what we have to let go of in Libra is where we arrange ourselves such that we are pleasing to others. And we have two eclipse seasons, one in the spring, March 25th, and then April 8th. And then we have another one in the fall, where the eclipses are on 9/17, September 17th, and then October 2nd. Now, I'm going to focus on this secondary set of eclipses here, because what's very interesting is they take place when Pluto is retrograded back into Capricorn, that Earth sign, for the final time before November 19th, when it firmly moves into Aquarius. And the solar eclipse in particular, well, let's actually talk about both of them. The lunar eclipse on September 17th. For some reason, I had trouble getting that out of my mouth. Is the first in the sign of Pisces, which is where the nodes are going to shift to Pisces Virgo in 2025. And having a lunar eclipse, are about release. They take place during the full moon where we let go of things in Pisces. Pisces is a sign that has an issue with boundaries and escapism. So the question I would have for you to look at this eclipse is, where do I have a tendency to avoid and escape my own needs? They're lunar eclipses, lunar nodes rather. And this is a lunar eclipse after all, and the moon deals with our emotional needs. Where do I run into something that's overtly destructive, say alcohol and drugs? Or we could also ask ourselves where we escape into work, productivity, and busyness. So we abandon, we don't make time for how we want to move forward. But then we have this beautiful solar eclipse at 10 degrees of Libra on October 2nd. And Libra is how we arrange ourselves in our lives. It's looking for the good, the true, and the beautiful. So here's how I'm going to be using that eclipse and really this year leading into it. So, I'm going to be looking at how I use time. Saturn is exalted in Libra. Saturn rules time. How do I use time to arrange my life? How can I use that time to arrange it in a more beautiful way? And in particular, I'm thinking of here what the Navajo, again, I'm in the Southwest in Arizona, call walking in beauty. To walk in beauty, is to walk in truth. And the Navajo language is Hoso no Nahasha. I don't want to mispronounce that. And that's the Navajo term for the spiritual path of celebrating the sacredness of life, how we're all connected. To think and act in the beauty life, it sheds life on how we walk, how we move through life. Physically, emotionally, how we explore our inner landscape, that territory of Pluto, our inner wilderness, and we see our connection, our relationship to all of life. And what's interesting to me is during this eclipse, Pluto will be moving through its last gasp, rather, of Capricorn, which is a cardinal sign. The four cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. And in the Navajo view, the four cardinal directions are the principles of the beauty way path. And in the Western view, we would say the equinoxes and the solstices are the cardinal points, the points of change and initiation and new beginnings. So if we're walking on the beauty path, we're acknowledging that beauty exists within us, around us, all around us, surrounding us, in the same way that light reflects or refracts and creates a rainbow. We're acknowledging our sacredness, the sacredness of our dreams, the sacredness of our souls. And I'm going to use this Libra eclipse in this last gasp of Capricorn before Pluto firmly moves into Aquarius a month later, 6 weeks later, on November 19th. To look after I've gone through this reimagining period throughout 2024, this re-envisioning period, at how I can arrange my life. Where do I want to give my time to? What do I want to create? How can I arrange that as I move firmly into 2025, which is a year of marked change? This is a transition year, 2024. But we want to look to really use it, to use it for self-development. We want to embrace and deeply look at ourselves. If you are in an early fixed sign, which is from the 20th approximately of a month to the 26th or so of the fixed signs, which are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, you are going to be most impacted this year by Pluto's initial move into Aquarius. You in particular want to look at how you can re-envision these parts of yourselves. This will be true as we go on for all the fixed signs. And it's not just your sun sign. Again, you can go to an app, you can go to various places on the web if you don't know to look at your planetary positions. But the area of life that are going to be highlighted by Pluto, those are the parts of your life that are going from butterfly, or rather, caterpillar to butterfly. So I wish you a happy new year and that 2024 be a year where you can walk in beauty.
Thank you for listening to the Mainly Moonology podcast. If you want to take Moonology to the next level and manifest the life of your dreams, join our growing community of magical people who come together to lift each other up as we meditate, manifest, and reclaim the magic that has been inside us all along. Head over to mainlymoonologymembership.com and awaken your true powers.